Turn in your Bibles to Isaiah chapter 58. And what I'd like to do tonight is just borrow a few words from that song that Brother Jim had us to sing a few minutes ago. The song, Oh Happy Day. And I want us to think about that tonight, Oh Happy Day. In order for a person to esteem a day as a happy day, that person, him or herself, has to be happy. So the only way we're going to have a happy day is to be a happy person. So I want us to look at this a little bit here this evening. And we'll look at Isaiah chapter 58 and verse number 11. Isaiah 58 verse 11. Where the Bible says, And the Lord shall guide thee continually and satisfy thy soul in drought and make fat thy bones, and thou shalt be like a watered garden, like a spring of water, whose waters fail not. Now also tonight, would you turn over to Psalm 144 and verse 15. Psalm 144 and verse 15. We're talking about the matter of being happy. Psalm 144 and verse 15. The Bible says, happy is that people. So keep that in mind. To have a happy day, you've got to be a happy people. Now, we have reasons to be a happy people, and it's actually given there in that verse. Happy is that people that is in such a case, yea, happy is that people whose God is the Lord. So a person tonight who can say, God the Lord is my Savior, that person has every reason to be happy, whether they realize it or not. And sometimes we have a hard time realizing that. I know how that works. I don't care how Christian we might be, how godly we might be, and how many I's we might dot in terms of reading our Bibles and praying and doing the things that Christians ought to be doing. But yet we struggle from time to time with the issue of being a happy person. And so let me give us this evening some reasons as to why we ought to be a happy people. Let's pray. Father, thank you tonight for the Word of God and, Lord, for the verses that we've read. And thank you tonight for the precious privilege of saying, oh happy day, when Jesus washed my sins away. Lord, thank you tonight for having that cleansing of having our sins washed away. We take it for granted, Father, many, many times. But tonight may we appreciate more and realize the basis that we have this evening to be a happy people. Now bless, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. You know, when it comes to the matter of happiness, there's a lot that one could say when it comes to the subject itself. And as I would preach on that subject tonight, there's perhaps some things that I could say as far as an introduction to this message. Let's just be honest about something tonight. Not all of the times, at given moments in our lives, are we happy. There are times that we're just not happy due to situations. And so, let's just live in a real world and face that fact. We all have times in our lives to where we're just not too happy. Now, we understand this evening what the Bible says. We understand what the ideal is for the Christian life. Happy is the people whose God is the Lord. But I would just like tonight to make a few suggestions. I believe there are some reasons that we ought to, in spite of what life serves us, we ought to still basically come out of it and still be a happy people. We ought to still be able to get through situations and challenges that life hits us with and still come out in the end happy. We have every reason to do that. Now, I will say this tonight. I'm not too happy when I look around and I see what's going on in our land. I'm not happy when I look at the world situation, when I look at the turmoil, the distress, the sin, and the degradation that is just literally saturating our world today. And it just seems like all of the stops have been pulled out. There's probably never been a time that our generation has witnessed any more lewdness and any more corruption than what we're seeing right now in our land. And I'm not happy when I look at that. I'm not happy all the time when I look at people. And I know you're not happy all the time when you look at me. So we get that. That's a mutual agreement. Is that okay? Could I shake your hand on that? That's a mutual understanding. Sometimes people will disappoint you. And I struggle with that even to this day. You know, you'd think as long as I've been pastoring churches that I'd accept the fact that some things, in fact many things, in fact most things, you can't change. I mean, people are basically going to do what they want to do. And I struggle with that. Sometimes I do. I guess maybe I call it ideals or whatever you want to. Call it standards, whatever you want to. But it does bother me sometimes that, and I've preached it many times, it bothers me that it just seems like that some people, I don't care how hard we preach, how hard we teach, what all we do, they just, basically, you just can't move them. You can't stir them. They just sit in their ways, sought in their ways. And you can't change it. And that bothers me because I look at the Bible and I know the Word of God is quick and powerful and sharper. And I know that the Word does not return void. And sometimes I wonder, Lord, why don't people get it? Why don't some people get it better? And, you know, I struggle with that. But yet when you go to preachers' meetings, they'll tell you the same thing. Churches are just that way. You can lead a horse to the watering trough, but you can't make them drink, right? And so there's a lot that we can say, but when you look at people, it can be disappointing. And you can you can for a season lose your happiness if you stare too long at people. I mean, it just pays to not do that. If you're going to stare at anybody, stare at the Lord. Because people are going to let you down. And then I'm not too happy all the time when I look at myself. I'm not happy, and I put that in the context of what Paul said. He said, "Oh, wretched man that I am." Now, I don't think Paul was too happy with himself when he said that, do you? Because we are wretched. We are a sinner. And sometimes we just surprise ourselves. We're a Christian, and we know the Lord, but yet sometimes we're wondering, well, how can I think the way I'm thinking, act the way I'm acting, and don't you all look pious at me tonight? You're the same way. We're all in the same boat, aren't we? And so we're not always happy when we look at ourselves. But I am happy when I look at the Lord. I am happy when I can see His precious face in the pages of Scripture. I am happy when I can see His hand at work in my life. I am happy when I can see how He is blessing and what He's doing and how He does comfort and meet people's needs, and how He supplies our needs, and how He is a friend that sticketh closer than a brother, how He is such a wonderful God. I am very happy. Now, the kids used to be taught the chorus, "If you're happy and you know it, clap your hands. If you're happy and you know it, then your face will surely show it." You know, if you're happy and you know it, clap your hands. And you've heard all kinds of little tidbits from pulpits of preachers saying, "Notify your face" and all that. We all know that. You know, why even go there? Sometimes our face doesn't seem to get the message, does it? But I'm talking about not a facial expression of happiness. I'm not talking about just a visual or visible expression of happiness. I'm talking about a deep happiness down in the soul. I'm talking about a happiness that is down deep. And sometimes, outwardly, we may not show it. But yet there is still that happiness. Happiness is to know the Savior. Living a life within His favor. Having a change in my behavior. Happiness is the Lord. Now, some people bring happiness wherever they go. Other people, they bring happiness whenever they go. I didn't know that statement had so much in it. In fact, I didn't hardly understand. You know, the Constitution, think about this. The Constitution guarantees the right to the pursuit of happiness, but the Constitution doesn't guarantee the ability to catch it. But we do catch it when we know the Lord. One person wrote, they put it like this. They said, life is too short to be sad in, to carry a grouch and to be mad in. 'Tis made to be happy and glad in, so let us be friends and be happy. Friends are too scarce to be sore at, to gloom and to glower and roar at. They're made to be loved and not swore at, so let us be friends and be happy. Love is a store we should lay in. Love is a coin we should pay in. Love is a language to pray in. So fill up with love and be happy. The old, in fact, I used to have this, I forget what it was. You push a button and it said, be happy. Who was it that, who was the old secular artist that sang that song, Be Happy? Y'all remember that? What was his name, Misty? Right. That's what I was thinking of. So maybe I ought to say tonight, rephrase my sermon title, don't worry, be happy. The Bible says happy is that people that in such a case, yea, happy is that people whose God is the Lord. I believe that Christians can be happy. I believe, however, that happiness comes with an if. There's a little bit of an if involved. Now, after all, again, going back to that song, Oh, Happy Day, that fixed my choice on Thee, my Savior, and my God, or my King. The only way we can esteem a day as a happy day is to be a happy person. And the question is, how does that happen? Now, we know what it means to be saved. We know where we're going when we die. We know the provisions that God gives us en route. We know what to expect. He'll never leave us. He'll never forsake us. He'll supply our needs. But have you ever noticed? Sometimes we seem to forget that. Sometimes we actually turn into what you could call a practical atheist. We doubt God. We question God's existence as far as at a moment. You know, an atheist says there is no God. Well, sometimes Christians, in their actions and attitudes, they act like there isn't. So, if we can trust God when the sun is shining, we should not be doubting Him in a cloudy day either. I mean, because He has not changed. He has not changed. And that's one of the greatest incentives to be happy, is to know that while our feelings fluctuate and friends may shift and things may go crazy in this world, to just know that God will never change. He will remain the same. And there's security in that. It's a blessing in that. That means this. It means many things. One thing it means, it means that there's nothing that we can do as a Christian to make God not like us. He'll still love us. His attitude is not conditioned by what we do or not do. He's not like we are. I'm going to use an illustration right now. I'm not even going to call names. That's not important. But I'm going to use an illustration that just came to my mind that illustrates my point. A teenager one time once made the statement concerning an adult who was acting rather foolish and acting rather immature. And that teenage basically told that adult, it's time that you grow up and quit acting like me. Now, let's look at this verse tonight. Do you want to know really how to be happy, how to stay happy, how to maintain happiness? Well, go with me this evening into the depth of this verse a little bit, and let's see the reasons as to why Christians ought to maintain their happiness in spite of the fact that some of them are gloomy gusses, or some of them have pessimistic personalities, or some of them are melancholy, or some of them have all kinds of baggage in their life. If I understand the Bible at all, I just believe that God's grace and power can override anything that you and I have in our lives in terms of baggage. I mean, if we can say that the negative things that are going on in my life can hinder God from working, then that's basically saying that my problems are greater than God's ability. Think about that. That's putting my problems higher than God's ability. And too many people do that. They'll say, well, my background, my family traits, my personality traits, and all things combined make me the melancholy, blue and despair, agony on me type person that I am. And I can't get out of it because I'm who that I am. Well, there's one thing you're missing out on. You're failing to realize who God is. You're letting your disabilities be more powerful than God's ability. And that's what we do. Well, this verse here, look at it for a moment. Verse 11. The Lord shall guide thee. Great truth. Notice this. The Lord shall guide thee continually. One of the great reasons why we ought to maintain our happiness is because we are saved as Christians. Yes, S-A-V-E-D. Are you getting tired of hearing that word in church? Never get tired of it. Because it's going to take an eternity to get over it. You'll never get over it. Saved. How do we know that? The Lord shall guide thee. God only guides His people. That has to mean a person is saved to have God's guidance. That in itself is cause to be happy. Not only are we saved, so we can say, oh, happy day, but we are also satisfied, and that's another reason why we ought to be happy. The Lord shall guide thee continually and satisfy thy soul. He actually uses the word satisfy. Satisfy thy soul. Then, another reason it ought to be old happy day is not only this being saved, being satisfied, but being strong. And make fat thy bones. I'll talk about that in just a moment. That has to do with strength. With strength. Then we can be saved because we have been made submissive. Because the Bible says, like a watered garden in that verse. And then we can say, oh, happy day, because we are secure, because in that verse it says, like a spring of water whose waters fail not. Let's come back now to point number one. Oh, happy day, because we are saved. Because we are saved. We're guided by the Lord. And only the people of God are guided by the Lord. The people of the world and the people of the devil do not have the advantage of having God's guidance because they're not His. He will not guide them. But we have that Psalm 23 promise, don't we? The shepherd guides. He does not drive. The shepherd leads. The Lord is my shepherd. Then He says, He leadeth me. Now, that's a wonderful truth. But yet the qualification has to be my shepherd. My shepherd. And when you can say that, then you are saved and you are blessed. You have His guidance. We do have a control factor down our lives. We do not have to be out of control any longer because He can guide. By the way, there's too many testimonies out there of people that were saved out of just miserable backgrounds. I'm talking about just losers. I'm talking about class A losers who did nothing right, who had just their life was just a total tailspin. I mean, they were heading to hell as fast as their legs would carry them. and just drunks and drug addicts and all kinds of things such as that. And God got into their life and turned them around. And that's what I'm talking about tonight, guidance. Now, I will qualify what I just said here. Sometimes people exploit that. There are people, let's say, that have been drug addicts, or they have been, let's see, bank robbers, or they've spent time in the slammer. They've been in prison. And then they get out, and then they go on speaking circus. And then they begin to tell about all of those things that God delivered them from. And that's wonderful, because God does deliver. But it's almost like sometimes some people give the impression you really display the grace of God in a major way when He saves you from a major pit. That's kind of the impression some people give. And I think that can be dangerous a little bit, because some people are thinking, man, when I got saved, I was just a little child in Sunday school. Or my mother led me to the Lord. Or I got saved in church, and I got saved when I was a young person. So I don't have a very dynamic testimony. But let me clear that thinking up in a hurry. Every salvation experience is as dynamic as the other. In fact, in reality, there is no dud salvation experience. It's just as real, just as precious, just as powerful, requiring just as much of God's favor, grace, and blood when God saves that little 6-year-old child as when God saves that bank robber who spent 10 years in San Quentin. It's still just as important. But to be saved is a cause to be happy, because we have His leadership when He's guiding. That means we're living near Him with a warm heart towards Him. And I'm thinking of Enoch, who walked with God and was not, for God took him. Enoch. That's a precious, tender story. Enoch walked with God. Enoch walked with God at an unusual time. Enoch walked with God when most people were not walking with God. Enoch walked with God at a time where you read nothing of funerals and cemeteries and so-and-so begets so-and-so and lived so many years and died. In fact, you read those chapters back there in the book of Genesis, it's like walking through a cemetery. Then you have this man coming to the scene called Enoch, who walked with God. He walked with God. He walked with God, he talked with God, and he had fellowship with God, and that's what it all implies. I believe Enoch was a happy man, don't you? In spite of the fact there was death all around him, in spite of the fact there was so much corruption around him, he still walked with God and was not, for God took him. We follow him patiently and learn to wait upon him as we walk with him. Wait on the Lord, be of good courage. I believe that happiness will be the byproducts of the particular path of his leading. He leads me in the paths of righteousness. I believe that many Christians are not happy because they are refusing His leadership into these paths. Some are bucking the process. Some are kicking against the pricks, so to speak, like when God saved Saul the apostle. He says, hard for you to kick against the pricks. Some Christians are doing that. They're kicking against the pricks. They're dodging the Lord. They're bucking His will. They're running from Him. And so don't expect a whole lot of happiness out of that kind of a person. But a person that just goes ahead, learns early in life, throw up the white flag of surrender, say, I surrender all, God, you own me, I'm not my own, that's a happy person there. He guides his people in a path of truth. I like what John 16:13 says, howbeit when he, the Spirit of truth, has come, he'll guide you to all truth. He shall not speak of himself, but whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak. He shall show you things to come. So, oh happy day when a person can say, my sins are washed away. Because we have his guidance based upon Isaiah. Secondly, oh happy day because a happy person is a satisfied person. Look at that verse again, please. Satisfy thy soul. Satisfy thy soul. Now that's getting down to internal satisfaction. That's getting down to inward satisfaction. That's getting down to deep down satisfaction. It's a satisfaction to know that sins are forgiven and we have peace with God. It's a satisfaction to know the love of God. It's a deep soul satisfaction to claim God's promises and to feel secure about the future. I don't know how it is with you, but I really get happier when I really reach those places in my life to where I know that I'm indeed going to heaven. And I know that my future is secure. That's a cause to be happy. You can get in your car tonight and head home, and all of us can. But none of us are guaranteed we're going to make it. We're going to pull in our driveway, are we? Especially if we spend a whole lot of time on I-40 going into Greensboro. There's not a whole lot of security on the highways of life. Especially, let me qualify that further, especially on Sandy Ridge Road. I mean, I appreciate progress and thank God for Donald Trump, for the fact that jobs are now open everywhere you go. You're seeing hiring signs. It's kind of pathetic. You see some people with their little tin cup wanting a handout standing in the backdrop. You look back and you see a business behind them that's got a hiring sign on it.
That's right.
That kind of looks a little bit ridiculous to me. I think if anybody's willing to work and not lazy, you can find a job right now somewhere. And I do appreciate the fact that our economy is booming. And you can see that in the housing industry, all the housing going on and everything. I mean, it's flourishing. And so I applaud tonight our president, because I don't care whether you're Democrat or Republican. If you're an honest person, forget about politics for a moment. If you're an honest person, you have to admit we're living in a good economy. I wish some of those bird brain, some of his titles tickle me, pencil neck or whatever it is. I wish they, for 5 minutes in their life, would not be political, would just be honest. That would be a blessing if they just give us 5 minutes of honesty. Give the man credit for something. I mean, anything he does. I think the best thing for the president is to figure out what the Democrats want to do and then go in the opposite direction. Or if he wants to know how to really make them happy, then be thinking in terms of what they're wanting him to do and don't do it. Because anything he does is wrong. But now, what I'm saying here is I thank God for a good economy. But it sure doesn't make you feel very safe driving, though, on Sandy Ridge Road, does it? I mean, I don't know when we're going to be getting our 4 or 5 lanes, including the bicycle lane. But we need it bad. That'll be something else for us to make fun of coming to church, is all them bikers in that bicycle lane. What we need to do is put a big sign out front with an arrow pointing into church, just to those bikers specifically, and say, turn here. Come down the road in their tights, wearing their helmets like they've just landed from the third heaven or from another planet. A lot of them have a personality about like that wall. They don't know how to grin or smile. Honest to goodness, they do sometimes remind me of Martians. But yet, on the other hand, some of us, if we got out there riding bicycles, we'd look even more ridiculous. I'd be just like, you know, if I was running. Now, there was a time I did used to run. Now, I really did. Before I got saved, I was running from the law. But when I got saved, I was running with Uncle Sam because we had to do the PT test. And at one time, I was pretty good, but right now, it's this. It'd take me 5 minutes to get from here to that door right now. I've said all that to say this. There's not a whole lot of security with circumstances around us. But security tonight is in Jesus Christ. And I don't care how bad things bottom out, it still ought to be a happy day for us to realize we're not going to lose it all. I said this morning when I was closing, the Christian in the worst condition is still 10 million times better than an unsaved person with everything going for them. You're still better off to be saved. And that ought to cause some Christians to get a little bit happy. I mean, listen to me. All of us tonight have our war stories to tell. We can sit around and we can talk about how old arthritis is tearing my right shoulder up. Or we can talk about how that gout is bothering me. Or how that kidney stone just moved. Or all that stuff. But basically, that's not what feeds the soul, though, is it? And if I've got any encouraging words for you, just cheer up. It's going to get worse anyway. Let's just face reality. But I like what the prophet said. Although the fig tree shall not blossom, neither shall fruit be in the vines, the labor of the olive shall fail, and the field shall yield no meat, the flock shall be cut off from the fold, there shall be no herd in the stall, yet. Thank God for yet. Yet I will rejoice in the Lord. I will joy in the God of my salvation. Next time you feel sorry for yourself and pout and moan and groan and sing blue in despair and play your harp, please, please, I beg you, read Habakkuk chapter 3, verses 17 and 18. It'll help you. When the soul is satisfied, we can rejoice in spite of the circumstances, and we can be happy. Oh, happy day when we're saved. Oh, happy day because we're satisfied. Oh, happy day because we receive God's strength. He shall make my bones fat. This is not talking about the body. It's talking about the bones. This doesn't say he will make my body fat. It says he'll make my bones fat. So let's not give God credit tonight if our body is getting fat. Let's not blame God for that. Let's blame the table. Now, the bones, by the way, you know this. The bones have to do with the frame of the body. The frame of the body. This reminds us of the strength of the body. A Christian that is developing in strength, is growing in maturity, is a happier person. And so, and no wonder, because Paul says in Ephesians 6:10, that finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might, we will be happier with a strong spiritual frame. We'll be happier. Have a strong spiritual frame. And then, oh, happy day when we are a Christian who is submissive, watered garden. You remember I read that? Watered garden. A fruitful garden is a watered garden. A watered garden. And then, oh, happy day when you and I realize our security like a spring of water. A spring of water. So I say tonight to all of us who said we can't be happy. We can. If we'll just stop and think and ponder and realize what God has done for us. What God did for us may have happened in a flash, but I'll tell you one thing, it'll take an eternity to tell about. It didn't take God long to save us, but like the old country preacher said, he said, I've been saved, and he said, and when I get to heaven, I'm gonna make sure I let God know how happy I am about it. In other words, he put it this way. He said, God will never hear the last of it. Well, I get to heaven. So tonight, in spite of who you are, what you are, what you've done, where you've come from, what your personality trait might be, and all those things combined, you can be happy tonight. Because God builds that potential in when He saves us. We don't have to walk around all the time looking like we just, you know, what's a good analogy? I used to say our mother-in-law moved in with us. But I miss my mother-in-law. I don't say that anymore. But anyway, oh, happy day. Let's be happy. Amen. Notify your face right now.